2011. My name is Doug Kelly. It's so good to have you here. I'm here with Grant. Hey, Grant.
Hey, Doug. What's going on? We've got a great guest tonight, and hope our audience is going to enjoy our guest because she's going to be talking to us about crop circles.
Oh, yeah. They'll enjoy Patty. She's got a lot of information, and we would like to welcome everybody to episode number 159.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they're accumulating. We'd like to welcome those in our Blog Talk Radio chat room, as well as those in the Inception Radio Network chat room. Good to have you with us tonight. Tonight, of course, the topic is on crop circles. If you have a question, feel free to post it in either chat room, and I'll try to get to those questions as best I can. If you have a call and you'd like to call in and ask a question, you can do that. Jamie Havikin is, of course, screening our calls tonight, so you'll get to talk with him first.
Yeah, he's the wizard behind the scenes. What would we do without him?
Yeah. So,
I'm still here, okay. Doug. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got you, Patty. Sorry about that, folks. Apparently,
yep.
We are connected. I want to make sure if in the chat room, please type in if you can hear me. For some reason, we've had a couple of dropouts with Blog Talk Radio this evening. And so I'm going to wait just a
minute. Well, let's hope the Skype gods are kind to us, especially since they've just been purchased by Microsoft.
Oh, have
they? Oh, yeah, they were just purchased the other day by Microsoft, so I guess maybe that'll be the end of free calls, but who knows?
Really?
Yeah.
So I'm getting some feedback from the chat room, the Inception Radio Network chat room can hear us.
Oh, that's good.
I just want to make sure that we have...
That's the first time we've had a hiccup with Skype in a while.
Yeah, it is. I don't know if it's with Skype or with Blog Talk Radio. I don't know which one. Hopefully that was the end of it. I'm going to go ahead. I'm not getting any feedback in the in our own chat room yet. So I'm going to. Hopefully they can hear us and they can refresh their page. Anyway, as I was saying, because I don't know how much of it was cut off before we were dropped. So I'm going to repeat what I just said a moment. Tonight we have Patty Greer with us, a talented musician, talented filmmaker. Excellent work, crop circle research, and many other things that I'm sure we'll touch on tonight. Patty, thanks for joining us. Great to have you.
Good to be here.
Welcome.
Yes, and you know, I just want to tell everybody, you know, go to Patty's website, pattygreer.com. You can see some trailers of her different films, and just excellent work. I mean, I really commend you, Patty, for the high quality of editing and production.
Well, thank you. It was, I walked in blindly and I think I got real lucky real quickly.
Yeah. Let's talk about how you started. Give everybody kind of a bit of a background on how you went from being a harpist, and I know you still are, but professional, to doing this.
Well, it wasn't actually anything I planned. Everything happened completely surprising to me, but I had something strange happen to my fingertips 7 years ago, and I'd played harp for 30 years professionally, all kinds of funky music, and in 2001, I did some really interesting music that I had no idea would become the soundtracks for these movies. My hands developed some weird condition where I got cuts all over my fingertips, which have still unfortunately disabled me for about 7 years. I have to wear gloves and Band-Aids because something strange affected my skin. And it took me this long to get to the bottom of it. Unfortunately, it was mercury poisoning from amalgam fillings.
Wow.
And,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I'll make it quick because our show is going to be a happy one, but the outcome is happy. You know, one door closed, I had to stop playing music, but another door opened. And because the American doctors, for some reason, are taught to give us the wrong test for amalgam fillings, they test you for organic mercury when you say, hi, I think my fillings are leaking. They give you the wrong test. They send you home with the information, no, you're just fine. Go back to sleep. You don't have any mercury. And sure enough, 6 years later, I finally went for the real test, and I'm in the top 95 percentile of worst case. So it is what happened to my fingertips, but none of the doctors, for some reason, could tell me this. I took it upon myself. I had my fillings removed, and the conscious dentist gave me the right blood test, blah, blah. The rest is history. But I highly recommend if anybody's having really odd symptoms and you have mercury fillings, just watch the YouTube called The Smoking Tooth, and I'm going to end that story. This is a bad bit of information. I think we're really being misled, but I don't want to focus there. On the other hand, my desperation of not being able to be healed is what took me to the crop circles.
Yeah, so talk to us about that. So
I went to England. Yeah, I went to England. I had heard it was completely magical, and the people that went there, when I physically saw them, they looked completely different. I was like, what on earth did you do? You guys look different. And they had just come back from the crop circles. And it was kind of like that movie, you know, where Harry met Sally, you know, I was like, whatever they had is what I want, you know, having.
So, now, are you talking about their demeanor or the way they appeared?
Everything about their field was different. I mean, they were lit up, they were radiant, and it wasn't just a vacation at the beach. They looked and felt different. And they're ministers at a Unity Church, so they're spiritual people anyway, but I could tell that something was different. And it was so drawing for me, and with my not being able to find a doctor that could give me a hand, I thought, well, you know, if there's really ETs in crop circles, I might just go get a direct main line and get my hands fixed. So that's what took me to the crop circles.
Yeah, absolutely. And, why not?
Well, I have to say the crop circles did not heal me, and but they did create an entirely new life, which I guess is a healing on some hand, because you don't always get what you want, but you somehow get what you need.
Amen. And
so I laid in a crop circle. I went all by myself. I had no idea what to expect. I hadn't read about them. I hadn't studied them. I just was curious and kind of desperate. So I lay down, passed out, and it was the strangest experience of my life. When I opened my eyes, I saw something that I had never seen before, and it was something moving in the sky. There were lots of them, and they were specific shapes, and they were clear like jellyfish, but you could tell that they were solid somehow. And I'm laying there watching them, and I'm thinking, I've never seen this, but they're everywhere in the sky, and whatever they are, I still see them everywhere I go. Some people have described them as possibly what I'm seeing now as plasma, which is that medium that we've got solids, liquids, gas, plasma, light. So it's that somewhere between the worlds almost, something that we're starting to see. Some people have called it ether, which is that realm where energy lives and weaves. But whatever it is, when I'm with groups of people and I start seeing them, I'll describe to people to relax their vision and look with me, and most people can see it. So there's something going on where we're being able to see a parallel universe or another dimension, and all it takes is taking the time to look. I mean, almost everybody can see it when I point it out. And it's so interesting, but it began in the crop circles. Whatever it was that shifted my vision or affected me there, I mean, I was passed out for a while. Within 2 years of that day, I created 4 documentaries about crop circles and UFOs, and I have never studied any of this in my life. I didn't go there to make movies. I had no training or experience in filmmaking whatsoever. I just laid in a crop circle, got a whammy of some kind, and boom, I made movies like one after another. I did nothing for 2 years but run this information through myself, and I did pay editors to help me tie it in a bow, but all I could do was take pictures once I got there. It was so amazing.
Interesting. So here's a question from the chat room. Are the general public allowed to go to any of these crop circles and lay down, or do you need permission?
Well, you know, what? There's crop circle etiquette, which is provided on some of the crop circle websites. I will mention a couple right off the bat if people want to see pictures of the crop circles that are happening right now this year, or archives of all the years of crop circles back to the 80s. One is the cropcircleconnector.com. The other is Silent Circle. And both of these websites are in the UK, where most of the crop circles on the planet are happening. But they give you a lot of information, and mainly the visuals. And the thing about crop circles is that visually they are offering a sacred geometry that on a subconscious level gives us information. Now, if it's true that the crop circles are the first physical manifestation of communications from ETs, and they are intentionally giving us information through sacred geometry, well, what a gift. You know, if it's for our evolution, what a gift. But again, you know, they're not getting out very much. Not enough people are seeing them.
Do we really understand what they're trying to communicate?
Well, you know, I put together a group of photos, and I sat with a group of 6 people from all different countries that are researchers of crop circles. One of them was a local druid from the stone circles, and we all looked at one picture after another, and everybody saw something different. And everybody was correct. I think that there's something for everyone, and depending on your level of evolution, you'll see what you see.
So in that vein, there's a question from the chat room. I believe it's Richard. The Inception Radio chat room about seeing these dimensions. You said it's easy. How do we do that?
Hey, Richard. I'm so glad you asked, because it's so easy to explain it on the air. And most people will go outside and you'll be yelling, oh, my God, I can see it. It's so easy. Send me an email if you do through the website pattygreer.com. Here's how you do it. Now, you've seen those 3D greeting cards or artworks where you stare at this picture and it's a flat piece of paper, and all of a sudden when you relax your mind, you know how it comes out like 3D.
Right.
So it's kind of that muscle that you relax, that we walk outside, there has to be some blue sky, and you do not look toward the sun. But you relax your eyes and you look at the blue sky, and you kind of go into that daze where you know you're staring. When you get there, usually you'll see little white glints of light that move around. You know what I'm talking about?
I'll have to try it.
So, yeah, most people, they'll go, oh, yeah, I've seen those glints of light. So as you're relaxing your eyes, all of a sudden you'll see lots of glints of light, and they move with intention. It's not dust on your eyelids or veins, and you know, a lot of people want to think it's that, but it's really not. So you relax your eyes and you start seeing these little white things moving, and I guarantee everybody will.
And they're not floaters.
And as you're looking, they're not floaters. as you're looking at these little white things that are moving with this very strange movement patterns, none of them consistent, you relax deeper and see nothing but that and the blue sky. And all of a sudden, you might be amazed that there are a couple of different forms that I see all the time. Some of them look like a clear donut, like there's a circle on the outside and a circle on the inside. And they fly usually in groups, like schools of fish. I see them kind of in similar directional movement, but many of them, they're like a jellyfish. You can see through them, but you can tell there's something there. But many of them are round with an inside circle. Some are clear and clear. Some are clear with a dark center. But you'll see them move, and they're definitely noticeable. Another one that a lot of people see, it looks like a snake or a worm that's like an oil slick in the sky, and those usually move at a diagonal. I think everybody listening, if you take the time, you go outside on a day when there's some sun, you'll be amazed what you can see. And when you realize you can see these things that are either plasma or ether, but something between the worlds, you'll realize how obvious this parallel universe is, that it's right around us all the time.
Well, I think, you know, the thing about it is humans generally only see what they want to see, which is, I think, what you're what you're pointing out so well, so eloquently there. And you know what? You really need to open your eyes and look around. But, you know, I think that brings up a fascinating point, Patty, because I've often wondered myself if there's a whole world of, you know, plasma entities out there that, you know, are, if not living creatures or something close to it, that inhabit the atmosphere, the upper atmospheres. I mean, even NASA and a number of other folks, scientific folks, acknowledge that there's a lot of strange things that that occur in the atmosphere, in the upper atmosphere, that they really can't explain, that they're still, they have a lot to learn, like sprites, and there's a number of other things that have to do with plasma. So it's really fascinating stuff.
Yeah, but it's not the upper atmosphere. I got to tell you, it is right here near my face. And when I was skiing every weekend this winter, I was distracted by the plasma. I mean, I was like moving my hand in front of my face going, you must be kidding that I'm getting distracted by them while I'm skiing. I mean, they're not in the upper atmosphere. They are here now.
Well, let me just kind of clarify. Maybe what I meant was, it would be, you know, I think there was somebody that said one time that the fish in the water is totally oblivious to our universe. And I think that's the point I was trying to make, was simply that wherever they exist, it would be just like humans to be completely oblivious to a world that's around them, lively and, you know, just full of energy and stuff. And we just wouldn't be, you know... We're so self-absorbed, we wouldn't even be aware of it unless you kind of open up your mind.
Yeah, well, it's kind of good to slow down once in a while, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know, my movie that I made in 2009 is called 2012, We're Already In It. And it's a line that my partner and I always say to each other because, you know, we always think that all these things are out there or over there or happening in another country, but the truth is, we're already in it. You know, all of it is going on now. It's not like things are way in the distant future. And the crop circles, for instance, now this is one thing where I really felt like we were being given messages that were very direct and precise. In 2009, there were 6 or 7 crop circles that were specifically birds. There was no doubt you could tell they were birds. There was also 6 fish crop circles, squid and ancient sea creatures, and the dragonfly, which is an ancient insect. But some of the earliest forms of all these early species were showing up in crop circles in 2009. And I think that it was less than a year that the BP oil disaster happened. So for the first time in history, we were shown birds and fish, crop circles.
And how do we know that these are not artistic expressions by gifted crop circle makers?
Well, we don't know. And when I walk into them, I can tell you 20 feet before a crop circle if there's something intense energetically going on. Now, be it an electromagnetic field put on by humans that are military base coming from a satellite, I don't know. It's possible. But there's definitely something that physically you can feel if you're sensitive when you go in the crop circles. Your skin gets goosebumps. The hair stands up on your arms. I mean, noticeable.
Can you tell any difference from circle to circle? Because I think that, you know, I've read that same thing where they believe that there's some residual energy. And one of the hallmarks, I think, of the difference between what would be a suspicious crop circle and one that's more legitimate is the way that the actual wheat chaff is bent. Is that not correct?
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely true. There's, aside from being able to feel it, and I have felt the difference between really energized crop circles and some that just felt limp but looked I can feel the difference, and most of the people that I go in them with can feel the difference. As far as what you were talking about, it is, there's 17 scientifically proven changes that happen to the wheat. And these are all different versions of science that are testing the wheat and the water around the field and the electromagnetic field inside and outside the actual formation. But the wheat itself, it's the first thing we look at when we walk into a crop circle, is the perimeter. You know, you hope that you get there crack of dawn before very many people walk the crop circles, but you can always dig down to the base on the outer edge of the crop circle formations to see if the wheat is broken, side by side broken, which means typically made by humans, or if at the bend there's this bubble, which we call a bent node. And the only way that can happen, that they've tried to recreate it, is through heat or a microwave energy. But it's immense heat that happens really quickly, and it blows a bubble in the wheat stalk, and it bends it over. But how hundreds of thousands of them bend and bubble at the same time?
Simultaneously.
Simultaneously, but some in different directions than the other. And at the same time, when a crop circle lays down, some will be clockwise, and the next crop circle next to it will be counterclockwise. Now, how does that happen?
Well, that could fit in with electromagnetics, I would think so, just by reversing polarity. But, you know, the thing that I always found fascinating about the crop circles is, and whether they were bogus or not, I thought this was really fascinating, was one early, maybe out of the 80s, and you may be familiar with this one, Patty, had Latin in it. It actually had a Latin word in it. And, you know, to me, and I can't recall which one it was, it was a beautifully sculpted, very symmetrical. I mean, most of them are all symmetrical and gorgeous. But this one had Latin in it. And, I can't remember the expression. It wasn't a long Latin phrase, but it was something that, you know, caught my attention. Because let's just take, for instance, maybe somebody is or something's trying to communicate with us. Maybe they still think we use a little bit of Latin. That would rattle our tree, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, you know, I don't recall one in Latin, but last year when I was there, there was one that we deciphered as that it looked like Israeli language. And in 2009, I think the most amazing one I'd ever seen, it was 1,500 feet long. It was done in three different phases, which means it happened, and it was this incredible formation. And then a few days later, it was 1,000 feet longer. And then 5 days later, I believe it was, the third phase happened, and what was created was an ancient language that hasn't been seen in hundreds of years, and it was meticulously done in a crop circle.
Are there pictures of this one?
Yes, actually on the back of my movie cover, but you can see it on my website if you look at the trailer for Crop Circles 2010 Update, The Wake-Up Call. And my website, again, is pattygreer.com, PattyGreer. You know, I think I've made the website so full of photo galleries and trailers that, you know, people are, they're just getting so much information, they almost don't need movies anymore. It's like watching a documentary, just going to visit the website. And I think that a lot of crop circle researchers that I've met, you know, there's a lot of really authentic people that are there to share the information with the world. And there are not very many of us that go there every summer. And to fly in an airplane and hang out with these minuscule seat belts at 2,000, 3,000 feet when it's windy and raining, I mean, I'm driven by something insane. Half the time I'm up there going, what am I doing? And I've got my movie camera.
By the same token, to be on the cutting edge of what could be a completely or just such a huge shift in a paradigm. And the sad part about it is although there's wonderful folks like yourself and all the other people that are out there researching it, you know, I think a lot of people don't take it seriously. And that's tragic, because if it is somebody trying to communicate with us, I mean, that speaks volumes about us as a species, you know. I mean, I think by and large humans are good, but I mean, a lot of times we're like a herd of cattle. We don't pay attention to things that are really important until somebody slaps us alongside the head. And, you know, this may be something that's absolutely monumental, because, you know, we can't communicate with dolphins, let alone communicate with a species that's not indigenous to this planet.
Well, but on the other hand, there are people that do, though. And there are people that claim to be communicating with ETs regularly.
Yeah, but there's people that say they speak to ghosts, too, you know. I mean, I'm not denigrating what you're saying. I just think that, you know, we got a lot of evolution to do spiritually.
I couldn't agree more. You know, you reminded me of another formation when you were talking about the different languages. Now, this one, how could they possibly create this at night unless it's, again, some laser thing coming from a satellite in space? But in, 2002, there was the ET face and the round disc, which had a binary data sequence. Do you remember the ET face and the disc?
I don't think I've seen that one, but I would love to see it.
It is so incredible. Again, it's in my movie trailers for the Crop Circle movie.
Now, is it a typical gray?
It does look like an E.T. gray.
That sets red flags up for me, because that's almost so universal. That's what we're expecting, and I think that it's not going to be what we expect.
No, you haven't seen this formation. If you look at it, it's not just an E.T. gray-shaped face, but it has shadowing, and it's in a It's in a field of dry wheat. I mean, dry wheat is even harder to lay down. And this is dry wheat.
Jamie just put one in a link to the picture in the chat room.
It is incredible. So this one, it was discovered in Shilbolton, England in 2002, right near a television transmitting tower. Now, come on, that to me says they want the information to be spread. And it had a clear depiction of an ET face next to this binary code that was deciphered by a guy named Paul Vigée to be a computer language known as ASCII, A-S-C-I-I. So now ASCII. We've got different... ASCII?
ASCII.
I'm not scientific. I just, you know, I read it. But so we've got computer language. We've got language that hasn't been seen in hundreds of years. And then we've got, like you said, a foreign language. But this one in particular, when he decoded it, the words and letters had very bizarre capitals, which means that they were not only giving us a line of information, but a subliminal bit of larger words. And so it was deciphered as this, which is a really heavy message. Beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. Much pain, but still time. Believe there is good out there. We oppose deception. Conduit closing.
And this was the translation?
This was the translation of the binary code sequence in the disc. Now, this was done in the dark of night, and in England in the summer, you've got 3 hours of darkness. But the crop circles literally...
How old was that message, Patty? When did that occur?
2002.
I never heard that. You know, that just gave me chills. Would you read that again for me, please?
It really is heavy. And the words that I want to mention that are in caps, I'll mention after I read it once more. Beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. much pain, but still time. Believe there is good out there. We oppose deception. Conduit closing.
Wow.
So the words that were large were false, broken promises, pain, good, oppose deception, closing.
You know, it makes me wonder. I mean, you know, what if Earth is in quarantine, you know, not because of the folks that are around us, that surround us, but because of the way that the whole society is structured here. That would be a pretty heavy message if there was, you know, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, if it was indeed true, that's a pretty heavy message, because I think it's telling us that you're all being deceived. Wake up, you know, we're communicating with you, and look and see through the deception, and though there's pain, there's also something, there's a positive there. So that's really interesting. Very
interesting. I thought it was fascinating, yeah.
Very
and, you know, to see that in a crop circle, it's kind of a scary thing, you know, because if it is a higher dimensional group, well, they're trying to help us, you know, and then sometimes I start to think, well, you know, here we are maybe so arrogant that we think it's even messages for us. What if they're just using Earth as a sticky note and leaving messages for each other as they're flying around?
Well, the other thing that comes to mind, too, is I'm sure, I know both of you are probably aware of Jacques Vallée.
Yeah.
And Jacques Vallée has made this evolution where he says, what if it's not alien? What if this, whatever it may be, is something that we've coexisted with here on this planet for millions of years? And even take it a step farther. What if it's, you know, and this is a theory that I tossed out years ago when I first heard it, but now maybe in my old age I'm coming full circle, was Gaia. What if it's Gaia trying to tell us what's going on?
You know, I had a friend this morning say that very thing, and she said, you know, if we get bad enough, she's just going to open her mouth and swallow up the problem. And, you know, you wonder when we see what's going on, you know, is it naturally created or is it humanly created? And, you know, I'm at a point where every day I wake up and I go, is this true? Is all of this true? Or is none of this true? You know, are there really UFOs? Are there really aliens having interactions with humans? Is it true? I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, this morning I got an email, a link from somebody I really respect. And she doesn't send me scary, grueling things. And it was about the Japanese release of nuclear toxicity.
Oh, yeah, radiation from the reactors over there?
I mean, seriously, they're saying that it's already rained in California 18,000 times the allowable amount. Is it true?
Oh, well, Patty, they wouldn't lie to us. Come on.
Well, they're not telling us. This
we'll all be
somebody
glowing in the darks.
Well, I say we should enjoy every day that much more and really get out and enjoy nature.
Oh, absolutely. Before we have this scorched earth policy about this gorgeous gem of a planet. And it is so unfortunate that we can't live in harmony with, you know, I think that we're the only cog in this elaborate wheel of this tapestry that may be, you know, on a flat tire. I mean, gosh, I wish, you know, spiritually we'd start, you know, get that tire filled and get back into sync with everybody else.
Well, you know, I'm starting to think about solutions because we realize how big the problem is and that it's out of the control of most humans, but the only thing that we can do independently as people is to stop giving it power by no longer supporting it. Just don't involve yourself with things that you know don't work, things that you know aren't honest. And I think any more part of this evolution that we're going through is discernment, to realize that look at what you're talking about, look at who you're dealing with and the situation, and realize if you can't change it, do you want to be a part of it? And if you don't, the only choice is to leave. And I'm done with so many of the systems that I know aren't working. And I can't make a difference, but one person at a time, If we say no to mortgages and no to the stock market and no to the things that we know just aren't running with honesty, that's the only way we can really create change, is to stop giving it power by supporting it.
Let me ask.
It's a tough situation. It really is, you know. And sometimes, although I share, I don't want you to, want either one of you to think that I'm being real negative here. I sometimes wonder if it's going to take some outer intervention to kind of slap us into shape, because I think that even the best intentions, and you can call me cynical on this, I think even our best intentions, when you're facing such an enormous machine, the machinery that's in place to change it, is almost futile, you know, and it's almost going to take an outside intervention to say, like, look, these people are all lying to you, you know, oh, you want some free energy, we'll show you how to get there. You don't need to be dependent on fossil fuels, and you don't need to be slaves to that kind of economy that it generates. I think those people, without that kind of intervention, are inclined to let us pay $100 a gallon for gasoline. They don't care.
No, they don't care.
Hey, let me inject some questions real quick, because I'm going to lose them as they.
Sorry, guys.
Nothing to be sorry about. I want to ask before I get them lost, because you know, in the chat room it scrolls up and then you lose the stuff above. And I'll just do them quickly, and then we can get on. This one has, I've lost it, but the gist of it was from Kathy, I believe. Is there any explanation for why the crop circles are becoming more elaborate, or are those the hoaxed ones? That's my tag on.
Well, I think that I have also commented that they've been more elaborate, and I think that the reason they would do it is to get our attention. And last year, when my partner and I were over there, it was his first time seeing a crop circle, and he said, you know, show me. And one of the first ones we went in was called Sugar Hill, and it was the most incredible handwork I have ever seen done to wheat. I've never seen anything like it. It was braided and twisted and woven, and it was like an Indian teepee group in the middle of the crop circle. I mean, it took my breath away, and we went back the very next morning at 6 in the morning, so nobody was in there, and took an amazing amount of photos. But the handwork, yes, they are getting more decorative and more amazing on the inside, but you almost have to, you have to see close-up photos to appreciate it. And again, my 2010 update crop circle movie has incredible inside and flying over footage of the crop circles. My answer is to get our attention.
Okay.
You know, when I see that, or when you tell me things like that, I hear that, and I've known about the intricacy, I find that very comforting and very, you know, I mean, that reinforces whatever is causing that is creating something of beauty.
Yes. Oh, they're
exquisite. Exquisite is a better word. And therefore, and of course, unless we're all wrong, I attribute beauty to goodness. I guess I like the Greeks. And so when I think of that, I think of that something with a hostile intent or that would have some superiority over mankind could come across as very negative and completely different, when in reality that's almost a loving gesture.
I think so too. And when you're inside them, the feeling is so, it's a spiritual feeling. I mean, everything in you, you almost feel like you're floating.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember much from the time I get to the formation to the time I leave. I don't remember much. And for myself, I'll say that I've been in probably 100 crop circles, and I've done things completely out of character. When I get over there, I don't think. I go into crop circles at night by myself. That's just not something I would normally do. And at the end of a day when I am so exhausted I can't move, if I hear word that there's a new circle, I am up and on it and crawling if I have to. Because when they first happen is when you want to get there. When they first happen is when the energy is the strongest. And it does dissipate in time. But even the older crop circles, you can still feel them when you go in.
All right, let me get some more questions in here. Got to find this one. This one is from... Big Fear in the Inception Radio Network. I'm sorry, I don't know your name. Do Crop Circle hunters feel the integrity of their work will soon be in jeopardy because of the increasing number of hoaxers who are getting really good at duplicating intricate designs?
You know, there's a lot of questions tonight about hoaxers, and they are a subject that I rarely broach. But I'll tell you my favorite story, and I think this might answer a lot of questions. I was at the Black Horse one night, which is a pub in Wiltshire, the center of the Crop Circles, and I was having a salad, having dinner. I was exhausted. It was the end of a long day, and the table behind me had three guys that were drinking heavily and getting really loud. And sure enough, they were three guys that had just been out in the fields making a crop circle. So these were three of the guys that go out there and make crop circles. But what happened to them that night, where they were drinking so heavily, or maybe that's normal, but they were completely hysterical behind me. And what I heard them say was, can you believe that while we were out there, an expletive, a ball of light came over and whizzed us, and one of the guys wet his pants, and all three of them went running to the car, and they didn't even get their gear out of the field.
Huh.
So you've got guys in the field trying to trick the world, and that's fine, because if they're doing some of the 3D amazing ones, which supposedly they created last summer, we'll have to them because they are being divinely guided too. But the fact that the balls of light that are really making the crop circles, the good ones, whiz these guys to give them the information, you think you're all that in a bag of chips? Well, guess what?
Yeah.
And they were dying. They were so blown away that there was something greater than them. So there's the answer to all the people curious about hoaxers.
Well, I hope they had to sit there in their wet pants.
All right, here's another question. Why hasn't anyone ever seen the making of a crop circle while in progress?
Perfect question. In 1996, a guy named John Whaley, we're night watchers. We sit on the hill at night. We've got our cameras ready, and we're always waiting to see a crop circle being made. Only one guy that I know of filmed a crop circle, and I used it in my movies. In 1996, this guy, John Whaley, awoke on a hillside at 5 a.m. because he heard the rustle. And everybody talks about the rustle of the wheat that you hear before the circle makers show up in your presence. And this is one of the only guys that had the wherewithal to push record on his camera. And what he filmed is two balls of light creating a crop circle. And it's at a place called Oliver's Castle. And it's in England. So everybody in the world that's into crop circles has looked at this footage of the Oliver's Castle, John Whaley footage, which, again, is on my website, pattygreer.com, in my movie trailers. So you see these two balls of light in his footage go over a solid field of wheat, and within a second, the wheat goes down. Six circles around a center, or five, I think it's six, circles around a center circle with a straight line coming out. It happens in seconds, and these balls of light continue on, check the circle, and fly away. Now, this thing has been looked at since 1996. I think it was August in 1996 when it was discovered. And half the world believes it's real footage, and the other half wants to debunk it. For no reason, when I first came back with the footage, I had an editor, and this was right after laying in the crop circle having the strange experience. I hired an editor. I had never done this before. And at the end of making the movie, I said, I got a weird feeling. Run that footage backwards of the balls of light. So he said, why? And I said, I don't know. Just do it. So he reversed it, and I said, slow it down. He said, how slow? And I said, I don't know, 30%. He said, why 30? And I said, I don't know, just do it. And boom, right there, 30% slowed down. I discovered a line of communication. It's a white and black. It almost looks, again, like binary or digital code. Some kind of communication sequence is in a straight line between these two balls of light right before the field went down. So what I found, knowing nothing about crop circles or editing movies, is that right before these two balls of light lay the crop circle down, they communicated, the wheat laid down, and off they went. And you can see it in my crop circle movies. It is stunning footage. To me, it answers the question, how are crop circles really made? They're made by balls of light.
Okay, here's one that I think we had touched on earlier from Vicky. And the question is, I would like to know if Patty has entertained the idea that crop circles are simply messages for themselves and each other, not us at all.
Remember, I said that earlier.
I know. Would you repeat it quickly?
Well, you know, I don't know if we have a higher dimensional world that is communicating to us through the wheat fields. You know, why they would choose to do crop circles instead of leave a phone message mm-hmm. is because wheat and barley and corn, which are the main mediums that they put crop circles in, last for a few months of summer. So if it's a message that they want humanity to see, why not put it onto a canvas that's going to last a while? And what takes the crop circles away at the end is in the autumn, the farmers mow their fields.
And speaking of that, do the farmers get compensated by insurance companies for damage to their crops?
Definitely not.
Yeah, and so some of these big ones.
Well, you know, it also makes you wonder, since wheat is a staff of life, I mean, what a great way to communicate, because I don't care where you are, bread has always been one of the fundamental things that humans eat, and it's made from wheat.
Right. Well, you know, beer is also made from wheat.
Yeah. I mean, our lives depend on it.
Right.
If we had an ecological disaster and we lost the capabilities to produce wheat, humanity would probably perish in a very short period of time.
So they say, yeah. Well, you know, the sad thing about the wheat over there is that my first few years, I would sentimentally take my little teeny pair of scissors and a plastic thing, and I would grab three heads of wheat from every crop circle that I went into, and I would put them in a some kind of a container in my B&B room, and when I go home, I would have three crop circle heads from each formation, and I leave it open in my bedroom, and I feel like I always have crop circle energy all through my house. But this one summer, I put them in a plastic bucket.
No,
it's beautiful, but I mean, come on, this is May.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, but you're also in Colorado, so.
Yeah. I mean, well, Colorado's beautiful.
Spring.
Yeah, I've lived in cold weather country. I just couldn't.
All right,
go back.
So give it just a second, Patty, and then we'll continue with your story. I don't have any idea what's going on with.
Yeah, this hasn't happened, Patty, in a long time, and we're very sorry about it.
Well, it's not. Apparently Skype, I don't know.
Something's going on. Weird.
Unless, Grant, do you get dropped too?
Yeah, momentarily, yeah.
Okay.
And then it's telling me that, you know, that there's all kinds of problems with the call.
Yeah, I get those messages too. All right, everybody should have refreshed by now. So, Patty, go ahead with your story.
All right. You know, it's strange we keep getting cut off. I don't know what it is that's going on the planet, but I think that the things that are important to be told, I think for some reason, are being kept secret. Are we off again?
No.
I'm still here.
No, we're good.
Okay. You know, I'm on the cover of UFO Magazine, which is a real delight, and beautiful story inside with great pictures of the crop circles. And as soon as I got in UFO Magazine, my website had security alerts. My store stopped working. I mean, one thing after another, it's like, can you even win?
Yeah.
So you just got to enjoy the process of everything.
We wondered about the same thing. I mean, as strange as that may sound, I mean, for simply just trying to put out some different points of view, you know, I mean, in this day and age, they could really trip you up. I mean, innocent civilians like us, you know, it makes you wonder.
Well, I promote myself as a sweet hippie chick from Colorado. I'm no threat to anybody.
Yeah, you're here.
Oh, yeah, nor are we. But,
yeah, really. I'm an old hippie myself.
Okay, so let me...
So, story about the wheat that I had in my closet in the dark in a plastic bucket that should have been fine, waiting to go home, three crop heads. I went to put some in, and I hadn't opened it for a couple days. And there was something that had grown on the wheat, and it filled the entire bucket. It looked like cotton candy, hot pink.
Really?
It was some kind of mold or fungus, and I almost dropped the bucket, but I luckily dropped it into the trash can. It was so ghastly. I was like, oh, my God, all my little wheat heads. I had to throw them all away. And so I started looking at this going, what on earth? would grow like that in a couple of days on wheat. So the next day I went to interview a farmer. And the farmer was this guy that happens to mow down most of the most beautiful crop circles in Avebury, which is the main area where the crop circles happen in Wiltshire, England. And this farmer gave me 20 minutes of his time, and I had to meet him at the barn, and it was really windy, and I was like, good, I'll be there early, ready to go. So I've been working with my movie camera. I've shot 50 rolls of film, no problem whatsoever. I get there with the farmer, and I know he's going to say things to me that probably won't make it in the movie because he doesn't believe in the crop circle magic, and he goes and mows them down every year with no feeling whatsoever about it, but I still wanted to be open and go film him. So I get there with my assistant, I pull the camera out of the trunk, and the tripod hook sets right up. The camera will not go on the tripod. I turn it backwards, I turn it forwards, I'm like, what? The camera would not go on the tripod. Finally, I just rammed it on. I held it with one hand. The mics would not work. Neither one. I'm like, no, really. He's like, you got 10 minutes left. I'm switching out the batteries and I'm changing everything. Nothing would work. Finally, I said to the farmer, tell you what, we're standing in front of your big barn. Let's just go inside there so we're out of the wind. I don't need the microphone. And I'll hang it around my neck. I don't need the tripod. Let's do the interview. He said, we can't go in the barn. I said, why? He said, well, we just sprayed. And I said, well, I thought that's where the wheat goes after you bring it in. He said, it is. And I said, what'd you spray it with so that you can't go in there? He said, well, we you know, have to spray with this and spray with that. And sure enough, it's so damn toxic that the farmer himself won't go in the barn. And I said, well, then why do you put the wheat in there? And he said, well, we just sprayed the wheat too. Well, there, to me, is the answer when people say, oh, I'm allergic to wheat. I don't think so. I don't think we're allergic to wheat at all. I think we're allergic to the pink stuff that grows on it when you leave it in the dark.
Okay, so, here's some. We're getting close to being done with our hour, so let me grab a couple more questions.
Okay.
One that's been asked in both chat rooms essentially is, how do you know the difference between a real crop circle and a fake crop circle?
Well, remember we talked about the blown nodes at the bend, or they're all broken. So the two ways in particular are that you'll either see a crop circle with all broken bends, which is human-made with boards and ropes, or these amazing bubbles and they're bent, which to me is not humanly made. There's also the physical feeling where it's a higher vibration inside than outside. I think it's really obvious.
That's more what I probably should have mentioned, more of the feeling part of it.
Right.
And structurally, there's a lot of changes to the whole structural change is different than if a clown's out there with a board and a rope.
And how come there's more, seems to be more crop circles in England than elsewhere?
You know, great question, because it's absolutely true. England has more than anywhere else on the planet and has for the last 30 years that we've been documenting. It's possible that we only document the ones in England and see so many because people are flying over looking for them. You know, it's very possible that they're happening all over the world and we just don't know it because we're not flying. But in England, there are more sacred sites per square inch than anywhere else on the planet. And in this particular area, the very center, in my opinion, is the Avebury Stone Circle, which is the oldest stone circle in all of Europe. And to the east of it is Stonehenge, about an hour, and to the west of it is Glastonbury, the medieval town where there's so much druid work and magic. And so this area is just laced with sacred sites, but many of them are thousands of years old, different than 10 years old or 100 years old. These are thousands of years old, 5 to 7,000 in this area in particular. There's Silbury Hill, there's the Stone Circle, and between each of these sacred sites, when they lay out a map, they do what's called ley lines, that are lines that go exactly between the sacred sites, the burial mounds of the ancestors, these kind of things. And on these ley lines, no coincidence, are most of the crop circles. Not only are the crop circles typically sitting on ley lines between sacred sites, but 96% of them have been found to be sitting over aquifers, which is a pool of water. And England has lots and lots of water. It's pretty much kind of a floating island. So it is excellent for these reasons, but also as we fly over, which you can see in the Wake Up Call Anybody Listening movie, it is just like a tapestry of wheat fields and different colored fields. It just looks like a perfect canvas. If I were flying over, I'd pick England too.
How long does it take to for two or three people to make a crop circle?
Supposedly, these guys are doing it overnight, and sometimes, you know, it's 3 hours of darkness, so I don't know how they're doing it.
Hmm.
But last year, I met Stephen Greer in one of the crop circles that was a 3D cube. Do you remember seeing?
Yeah,
I
saw it.
Cube. It was so incredible. And Stephen Greer's in there with a really amazing group of people. But I tell you, it was one of the few formations that I went and I felt nothing.
Do you ever use a Geiger counter?
No, but I use a pendulum.
Okay.
And I use a pendulum in every crop circle. The very first one I went in was so interesting, and I had no experience whatsoever, and it was me and my daughter and she's actually the Archdruid of Stonehenge, and we're friends now, but I didn't know her very well at the time. It was a rainy day. The wheat was up to our hips. We were freezing. And each of us was running a pendulum. We didn't know each other. Uh-oh.
No, just...
Party's over.
Yeah, we're getting close. Hey, let's give out your website again and tell people how they can learn more about your stuff. Give them your links and what you've done quickly.
Well, my website is Patty, P-A-T-T-Y, Greer, GREER.com. I have pay-per-view. You can watch the movies right on the website. Or take the movies home and share them with your friends. But they are bold, they are illuminating, and they are very, very honest. Made straight from the heart and winning lots of awards.
Yeah, award-winning. And the trailers are great, so go watch her trailers and pick up her movies. And, you know, it's an educational experience, if nothing else. So good job, Patty. Thanks so much for taking the time.
It's a fascinating subject. You know your subject, and thanks so much for coming on and sharing it with us, Patty. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure, and I'm heading back to England next month. I have no idea what I'm going to see this year, but I'll be looking.
Well, keep us posted and let us know, you know, if something interesting comes up, call us and we'll get you on for a segment, you know?
Love to.
And next week we have Vicki Hunter with us. She's going to be talking about developing and interpreting psychic impressions. Should be an interesting show. She's skilled in that way, so we'll look forward to having her.
Wonderful.
We appreciate everybody who has joined us live for this broadcast tonight. We appreciate those who are listening to the archive. Thanks for your questions from both chat rooms. We appreciate the Inception Radio Network chat room and live listeners as well. Thanks, Jamie, for doing the behind-the-scenes stuff. Grant, thanks for being here.
It's always a pleasure, Doug, and to everybody in our audience, thanks so very much, and we enjoyed having you with us, and there's more to come.
Yeah, so we'll look forward to seeing everybody next week. Until then, have a great week. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.